Hello and welcome to the Cowboy Chronicles, the Oklahoma's Oklahoma State Football Podcast. I am your host, Scott Wright, joined by Jacob Unruh. It's the post-Bedlam Monday now. Hopefully everybody is has calmed back down. Well, maybe not calmed back down.
Sobered up?
Sobered up. That's a good phrase.
As we're at a brewery.
Yeah, while we're sitting here getting not sober. hopefully everybody has enjoyed everything appropriately at this point. Time to talk a little Oklahoma State football. We got a lot to get into. They're at Central Florida this week, a trip that I will get to go on. You don't get to go this week. But it is what it is. So talk about all those things. Talk about what Mike Gundy had to say today. A little bit more subdued today. More businesslike, but we'll get into all of that. Of course, we want to remind you to subscribe to the newsletter on Oklahoma.com, the Oklahoma State Cowboys newsletter that we will be producing in the next couple of days. I think it'll be Bedlam related.
That's probably
where we need to go with that. But we'll get into all of that. Of course, remember to, if you're watching on YouTube, go down into the comments, drop your prediction for the UCF game, and you can win a beer that we will drink for you next week. We'll get into last week's winners, but I'm getting ahead of myself here because you got some lovely pink lemonade. Is that what we're drinking? What are you drinking?
Listen, the running joke with me and my wife is I love a pink drink. That's a running joke. I always end up, if I don't drink a beer somewhere and I get like a mixed drink in a restaurant, it almost always ends up pink, even unintentionally. It always ends up being a pink drink. I don't know if I like my pink drinks. No, this is their Sunshine Saison Prickly Pear.
The Prickly Pear.
I did the Sunshine Saison a couple weeks ago. Now I did the Prickly Pear version. A little more tart, but really good.
Very nice.
Refreshing. I really like it.
Very nice. I was not prepared for it to be that color. Whenever you
no, we I was not either.
Bar, I wasn't ready for that. I'm being boring this week. Not really boring, but I'm repeating. I don't usually repeat on the show. Try something new every week. This week I've stuck with Holt My Beer too, just because I'm a big fan of it. Yep. Don't know how long it'll be around, and love to support the cause there. So that's what I'm going with this week. Still love it. Still fantastic. I want to find. I don't even know if there's any of the original Holt My Beer still available anywhere.
Ooh, probably not.
I would love to test them next to each other.
Well, the other one was an IPA. It was a hazy IPA.
Now you've
got a wheat. This is a wheat.
It is.
A hazy IPA last year.
Exactly. So. I can't remember. I know I really liked that one last year. I really like this one. I don't remember.
Holt My Beer 3 is going to be next year.
Right. Who knows?
Maybe
who knows
a, what could be coming. Probably a pale ale.
Sounds about right. All right, well, with that, we'll get back to last week's predictions. We had a tie.
So we're each drinking for somebody.
We are. I'll let you drink for Go Pokes 1983, who nailed another one.
Like six in a row now?
Five.
Okay.
Five in a row now. And,
congratulations.
And Patrick, they tied. Both had Oklahoma State winning. Both were off by a combined total of 14 points in their score predictions, missing both a little bit each differently. But... So here we are drinking beers for them. So drop your score prediction in the comments for what you think will happen in Orlando, and we'll drink a beer for you next week. So with that, you were not able to make it to the Mike Gundy press conference today, but we're watching from home. Any major takeaways from? And like I said, it was a little bit subdued today.
It was pretty tame. And I will say that I'm undergoing a little bit of load management. As you would say, college basketball season starts tonight.
That's right.
I got a Gravity Arena at 8 o'clock, so I made the decision to do some load management.
That's right.
And, I'll be there tonight for the game and everything. But we could talk basketball for a brief second later.
Sure.
But, so Gundy, I thought it was interesting that he seemed focused to want to turn the page on Bedlam.
Yes, immediately.
Immediately. Got to quit asking, and immediately someone asked a question that was somewhat better Bedlam related, and he was like, I just said this, and you're asking me another question. So I think that was his main focus, and I think it was for a purpose. I mean, he wants the players to turn the page, but I think he's ready for everyone to turn the page to really help the players along, too.
Right.
Exactly. I don't know if that's, since you got, that's what I got.
Yes.
Was it's just time to turn this page. Huge win, a marquee win for his career. But they've still got three regular season games left and a chance to get to Arlington with those.
Exactly. And going on the road, I guess, at a place you've never been, a team you've never faced, anything could happen. Central Florida is, they're not great, but they've hung with some good teams, been in some games that they could have won. And
should have been Baylor. They're up by like 50 on Baylor.
Right, exactly. So they're a team that can do some damage if you allow them to. Really solid offensively in a variety of ways. Defensively, we'll get into that more later, particularly when we get to the Stone Cloud Six Pack. Very heavily focused on the OSU offense versus the UCF defense.
That's the only hint I have, all
right. Yeah, that's perfect. Exactly right. Now you have a little bit of an idea what's coming at you.
Okay.
So
perfect.
But with that, Gundy was very quick, and I asked him, you know, now this year he changed up the schedule. Sunday is a day off for the players, whereas Monday had always been their day off. Mm-hmm. They had a practice on Sunday evening, would lift and run and have a light practice on Sundays. They don't do that anymore. So as of noon today, he really hadn't interacted with any players. So I think he's curious, just like we're curious, what's the vibe of this team going to be on Monday night? We're recording this on Monday afternoon. We haven't even talked to the players yet. We'll get to see that later. But I know he wants to see what their reaction is going to be as well. So that's really the most important thing this week, because this is a team that you should be able to go execute your stuff and give yourself an edge. But if you're not focused, this can get out of hand really quickly, I think. So I think that's what I'm most curious about tonight when we get to visit with players out of practice, Jacob.
If they don't turn this page, everything falls apart they've built the last 5 weeks.
Exactly.
And it's no good. But I don't know that I'm ready to turn the page yet.
Oh, we don't have to.
I mean, we don't have to, right?
No, not
because
at all.
Saturday was fun. I would say last night. Saturday night.
Right.
Was fun. And there's still so much we could talk about this game.
Oh, yeah.
And the aspect of it. And I think one thing, and Gundy was asked about this, because people still didn't quite turn the page. They still kept going back to Bedlam throughout the press conference. They asked about the cost of the field goal post.
Yeah.
And the field goal post stuff fascinates me. Where that went and everything. And I haven't got to read up on a lot of the stuff yet and see some stuff. I've seen some videos, but I don't end up in the pond. And I think someone fished it out of the pond. And Gundy acted like someone cut it up into pieces.
I don't know if he thought somebody had done that or if he just thought somebody should have
done
that.
Yeah, I couldn't quite read that.
It was a little unclear what he was
but doing. That was all fascinating. That was one of the coolest things there tonight was the goalpost.
Yes.
And then the stump they left behind, and then now that's gone. But, all that, I think that was fascinating.
I've seen, everybody saw the video of it going into the pond.
Yeah.
I've seen the video of it at Wendy's. The drive-thru line.
I have not seen that.
At Wendy's.
That's amazing.
It was a picture or a video, I can't remember which, of it outside Murphy's on the strip.
I knew it was going towards Murphy's.
Yes.
I just never saw the video at
Murphy's. Oh, well, towards that's where they said they were taking it. So, So, there's going to be legends. This is going to be one of those things.
They should have taken it to Brahms. It was like the Barry Sanders statue right there.
Right?
When you pull up in the Brahms.
Exactly. When it was parked there.
Yeah.
Exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
But there's going to be stories. 50 years from now, 70-year-old men who are 20 right now telling their grandkids about the legend of the goalpost after the last Bedlam and where it ended
My
up.
My favorite part was still watching them trying to get out the tunnel that we were at waiting on the players press conference and stuff.
Yes.
It's like, no, you can't fit this through a tunnel, and they had to go back.
Yeah.
I just saw the goalpost come and the giant crowd of people, and I saw it go the other direction. And I was like, it's not going to work.
No. And Gundy was very curious about that today. Like, he was asking us, how'd they get it out of the stadium? And I didn't actually see how it was handled because it was gone by the time we got out of postgame. I would love to know
the specifics of that. I think it's the gate opposite side of us by GIA.
Yeah.
I think that's the only place you can get it out.
I would agree with that.
So I think that's my guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you know, drop a comment on YouTube.
Yeah, we'd love to know.
Give us the story.
If there's video proof of it, drop a link. We'll love to watch videos of it, too.
Even better. Or if you just like to make up a story that you're going to tell your grandkids 50 years from now, throw that in there, too. We would love to hear it.
Yeah.
So, with that, I kept out my game notes today. I don't usually bring props to the show, but we've noticed this the last few weeks. And I apologize for the people who are just listening to the audio version of this because they can't see it. But you turn the page into the game notes. There's this huge graphic of Ollie Gordon.
Yeah.
With all
it's like the third week in a row, I think.
Yeah, exactly. This is new. Like you always, every time
Gundy's
you open it up,
first.
it was the Mike Gundy page. Now they've got this this two-page spread of individual players, who are award candidates, and the huge Ollie Gordon page, which they're having to update every week because the numbers are going up every week. One of the craziest ones to me, and there's a lot of crazy ones, but he leads the nation in rushes of over 20 yards with 17, rushes of over 30 yards with 13, and rushes of over 40 yards with 6. And that's the kind of stuff that keeps your name in the Heisman conversation, even when you're not on a team that's contending for a national title or you're not a quarterback, because this has really sort of become a quarterback award. I think the only running backs to win it in the 2000s are the two Alabama guys, Derrick Henry and Mark Ingram.
Yeah, Mark Ingram. Whatever Mark Ingram? Whatever happened to that guy?
Yeah, I think he's on TV now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think. Pretty sure I saw him recently. But, it's hard for a running back to get that kind of respect, and Ollie Gordon is doing the kinds of things right now. If he can keep it up over the next 3 weeks, they're going to keep him in that conversation. And Gundy talked again today about the need for him to stay humble and hungry. And I feel like in what little bit we actually get to know about these guys, that Ollie, while he has this side of his personality that loves the attention and loves interacting with people and loves being the life of the party, is also very internally competitive.
Yeah.
And I think that's the part that's going to carry him through this, because I think that's what's going to push him on a day like today, or on Wednesday afternoon when he wants to relax. That's what's not going to allow it. So I think he's going to be okay mentally in how he handles this.
Now, he's had fun with this Bedlam win. I've enjoyed the videos of him saying there's only one Oklahoma and it ends with State.
Right.
I've seen that multiple times, different versions of that twice. He had an Instagram post I thought was pretty spicy last night of, Oklahoma State fears God, but Oklahoma fears Oklahoma State or something.
Right,
I think I totally butchered that. I thought it was pretty spicy.
Yeah, but maybe just going back, taking the shot back at OU for what they did to Texas.
Exactly, He's had some fun with it. But that's his personality. I don't think it's an ego. I don't think it's I'm better than everyone else. I think it's we won. I'm going to enjoy this moment and move forward. And I think that's what, I think he'll move forward in UCF. And those numbers you read off, all I could think was UCF's defense, run defense, has been really bad.
Yeah.
Those numbers might all expand in a large way.
Yes.
If OSU is focused and does what it needs to do.
Yeah. Dead last in the Big 12 against the run, giving up 212 yards a game, 127th nationally against the run. It's a scary situation. Now, they're really good against the pass. They're actually, that was what was the funniest thing, looking at their stats yesterday in the Big 12 standings. Best pass defense, worst rush defense.
Interesting.
Very fascinating that you can even pull that off. So that makes for some interesting dynamics going into this game. Taking this back to the broader perspective of the entire team, there are two reasons that I don't want to say that they're letdown proof, but there's two reasons that I think they can avoid a letdown. Number one is there are a lot of guys still left from last year's team that fell off the cliff. And they know what that felt like. They know what it looked like. They know they don't want it to happen again. Number two, all the guys that are on this year's team were at the bottom 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I, if they hadn't gone through that, I don't know if they would be able to handle the wave right now as well. Obviously, if you had the option, you'd rather be undefeated right now and take your chances of handling a possible letdown. But because they went through what they went through in mid to late September, I think that they're emotionally in a place that they're going to be able to get through this better than they might have been able to otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, I think of those guys last year, like you mentioned that especially, and Ollie's one of those guys. We were talking about Ollie. Like, Ollie was on that team. Ollie was, watched that fall apart. And I think this team's built better camaraderie. Than last year's team.
I would agree with that.
I think that's going to have an impact too. And I think careful how I'm saying this because I don't want to make it sound like I'm bashing last year's team or some people on that. But and I think they've got this leader in Alan Bowman who's stepped up and is that veteran old guy that has been in a lot of places now, been through a lot of stuff. And I think he's got the right personality and the right demeanor to kind of make sure that this doesn't happen again.
Right.
You know, he wasn't here, but I think he understands how to do this.
Yes. Just a different personality. You know, Spencer Sanders was a guy that players wanted to go to war for because of his intense competitive nature, but he was a different kind of leader.
Yeah.
And I think that Bowman's maturity is something that this team can lean on more so where Sanders was a little bit erratic in that respect because he was so intensely competitive that he kind of went overboard every now and then. So yeah, and did you see? I'm sure you did because I'm pretty sure Ollie was wearing one in post game.
The State Brothers?
State Brothers.
Yeah, Step Brothers t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's Ollie and Alan Bowman and the Step Brothers, but it's called State Brothers.
Yeah. Yes.
I think those shirts are going on sale from what I saw on social media.
I would hope so.
Pick them up.
I would hope
I don't know where, but I think fans will go pick them up.
I would certainly hope so. That's a good move on somebody's part right there. That said, staying with Alan Bowman, there have been rumblings about this. This was the first time that I had seen it brought up to Mike Gundy. About the potential of Alan Bowman applying for a seventh year, a medical hardship. In 2019, plays the first three games for Texas Tech, breaks his collarbone out at Arizona, doesn't play the rest of the year. So, mathematically, that's below the limit that he could apply for a seventh year. Now, we don't have any information as to whether he will actually do that or not. Gundy said he doesn't know. He's heard that as well. Says that paperwork doesn't get filed until after the regular season is over. So there's all of that stuff. But it poses a very, very interesting question for this offense based on where they're going right now, the things we just talked about with the leadership skills, all this stuff. This offense could look very interesting with Ollie Gordon as a junior and Alan Bowman coming back for a seventh year. You got a chance to have all these offensive linemen back and playing the way that they are. You know, the majority of the receivers are guys that still have eligibility left. So it could be very fascinating.
Yeah.
It's all speculation at this point.
It's all speculation. It could also be very fascinating what happens to the quarterback room.
Right.
That's a whole different mess that we don't really need to get into right now, but that could all be
That too would be a boatload of speculation because we have no idea how any of those guys would react to that news. That said, something we'll be keeping an eye on over the coming weeks as things progress. So, anything else from Gundy that really jumped out at you today?
No, I think that's kind of the bulk of it. I mean, other than the cost of the football post, he estimated to be $15,000.
That was fun.
Or $30,000.
He was. Maybe he was thinking of that's how much it costs for one on each end.
Who told him $15,000?
Kevin Clintworth.
Okay, Kevin did. Okay.
Yeah.
So then,
a legit answer.
Okay. That was my question. I couldn't hear that part at home at the time.
Right.
Who said that? So.
Yeah. Now, one thing that I found fun that happened in the walk off when we get to when the beat writers get to chat with Gundy after the press conference. Because I made a joke. I said, if Mike Holder was still the athletic director, would he have been out there with a crane to dig that thing out of Theta Pond and glue it back on? And he said, no. Holder was notorious for trying to pinch pennies, save money anywhere he could.
Very tight.
But Gundy said, no. In that situation, he just said, tear them down.
Yeah.
Let them do it. He said. Holder sits on the front row right behind the bench, and Gundy saw him in the final minute as they were running the clock down, and said he could tell that it was a very emotional win for Holder, and so he went over and said he actually shook his hand with like 30 seconds left to go in the game, and celebrated with him for a second.
That's awesome.
Which I thought was a cool thing. But he said when it comes to stuff like this, money was less of a concern for old Michael.
Let the students have fun.
Exactly. So, Yeah, a lot of interesting stuff that came out of today's conversation. He addressed Leon Johnson III in his red shirt. Obviously, that's out the door now. He's played in 5 games, but Gundy shut down injury talk really quickly when he got asked about the receivers. So there's no telling who might come back this week. Obviously, Blaine Green was in uniform and didn't ever see the field. Saw a lot of 3 receiver sets. Only 4 receivers even got on the field, period, all night. So we'll see what happens with that. But it feels like Leon Johnson is going to need to be a heavily involved piece of this offense going forward.
Did you ever think that OSU beat OU with just 4 receivers?
No.
I didn't think that'd ever be possible.
No.
They should have, like, when you think about it in those terms,
right?
They should have got crushed.
Yeah.
They should have just got overwhelmed on offense. Right. Like, they shouldn't have had a shot.
Yeah. Especially when you think the 4 receivers that played, Brennan Presley, obviously a star.
Yeah.
Rashad Owens, at the beginning of the year, was the 3rd string guy at that position where he's playing.
Yeah.
Leon Johnson was technically a backup, but they didn't want to play him at all.
He's a D3 guy.
Yes, exactly. And Kale Cabanis was the 4th receiver to play.
A former walk-on.
Former walk-on, who's, I think, really only made maybe 5 catches in his entire career. One that anybody even remembers was the one at Boise State.
I've covered this team the whole time, and I remember just the one catch.
Yeah, so. Yeah, exactly. So if you were sitting there at, the 1st of September and said, hey, this team's going to win Bedlam, and these are the 4 receivers, the only 4 receivers they're going to play. How is that even possible?
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah.
That's coaching right there. Like, that's Casey Dunn, Mike Gundy, the offensive staff, figuring out how to get this team in its system and go in the right direction.
Right, exactly. Because you think back to, like, 2021, they dealt with a bunch of receiver injuries, and they shut down. Now, they went heavy to the run and focused on Jalen Warren, and they had Spencer Sanders, obviously, to add a different dynamic, but they really cut back in the passing game.
And it got better as the year went on.
Yeah.
They got some guys back. They had Tay Martin as a number one, who was really valuable, but they don't have a Tay Martin.
Not really, no.
They don't have, he's not Tylan Wallace and James Washington, but Tay Martin was really good.
Yeah.
And an NFL-type player, so they don't have that guy right now.
No.
Even, I think, if they were healthy, I'm not sure there's a guy out there that's a Tay Martin impact-type guy, but they're still finding a way.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Stribling could have been that guy.
Stribling, I think, could have been. Yes,
but
the guys that, because we didn't see him enough.
Right, and the guys that have a chance to come back and play, we definitely haven't seen enough to say they are at that level.
I think Jaden Bray has a lot of potential.
I think he could be one of those guys.
I think Talon Shetron, if he can ever stay healthy too, could be that potential.
Right.
He's behind because he can't stay healthy.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Feel bad for him because he really looks incredibly talented. Just cannot stay on the field long enough.
Yeah.
So, all right. Anything else from Gundy before we get to the Stone Club 6-pack?
No, I think I'm ready for a 6-pack.
All right, good deal.
I'm almost through this beer. I'm a little sad. I'm not going to get anyone delivered to me in the middle of the podcast.
Right?
Like,
no kidding. That's a little disappointing.
It is disappointing.
All right. Very good. Three football-related things for the 3-round draft.
I did my homework like always.
Right, exactly.
You warned me in the middle of the podcast it's defensive heavy, so
yes.
There we go.
Central Florida defense.
Central Florida defense. Yeah, I don't know what you told me.
Exactly. All right, the first one, over or under 211.8 rushing yards for Ollie Gordon. 211.8 is exactly what Central Florida is allowing per game.
I'm going over.
Going over.
They're
going
to feed him and feed him and feed him until UCF stops him, which I don't think they're ever going to stop him.
I don't know that they can.
Yeah.
I really don't. And that's I'm going over as well. And that's what leads into question number 2. Which is over or under 250 passing yards for Alan Bowman. We've seen a couple of times this year when he hasn't got to that number because he hadn't needed to.
I think I'm going to go over.
Going to go over?
I think it's going to be a big offensive day for OSU.
Very interesting.
I like where they're going with things.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to take some risk here.
I understand. Not going to argue with it. I am going under because I just don't think they're going to have to pass that much to...
I just know Gundy likes to balance it.
He does. He does. And the way he talked today, this defense likes to come up and force you to try to run the ball against a heavy box, and they'll play some man-to-man on the back end, and that could be very beneficial for some of Oklahoma State's guys that are playing really well in one-on-one situations.
I like Rashad Owens in a one-on-one situation.
Right.
And I like 6'5 Leon Johnson in a one-on-one situation. Yep. So.
And Brendan Presley too. When he knows how to get open and make things happen. So
they get creative with him. So I like over. I just think it's a big offensive day.
All right. Very interesting. I am again going under on that one. And number three, a player prediction one rather than over under. I'm not even going to try to suggest that anybody other than Nick Martin is going to be the leading tackler in this game. It's a run-heavy offense.
Yeah.
It's suited for him to go have 17.
Yeah, he's going to, yeah. He might set the school record.
Yeah. So my question is, who will be the second leading tackler for the OSU defense on Saturday?
The run-heavy UCF offense, mm-hmm. right? That's what we just established. I'm going to Xavier Benson. I like the steps Xavier's taking.
He's playing well.
He's a defensive player of the week. Had a huge week, got involved in some turnovers, got some tackles for loss. I just like the way he's starting to figure out things and look. I'm going to go there. My instinct was Kendall Daniels, who I think you might take, but like Kendall Daniels or Colin Oliver, because like get to that second, third level, but I just think he's going to be Xavier.
I can see that. I absolutely can. I'm going a little bit different direction. I'm going to go with Trey Rucker.
Okay.
I think he finds himself into run support a lot this week, and he's been a really solid tackler, been getting guys down when he gets the opportunity. So I'm going to go with Trey Rucker from that spot for the number two leading tackler role this week. All right. Well, as we've established, I am going to Florida this week. You will not be able to.
It's all right.
But that got me thinking about Florida. And I think it's Floridian in general, and so that's what we're going to draft this week. I typed in things from Florida, but it can be people too. I've got people on my list,
okay.
So that's fair game.
People on
anything,
your list.
Okay. Anything really, anything connected to Florida.
Okay,
I'm pretty much going to allow.
I didn't think too hard on this. You warned me this one on the way before I left mm-hmm. Oklahoma City. I didn't think too hard on this one, so I'm going to be winging this one mostly.
Okay, so pretty much like the rest of the show.
Yeah, gotcha.
Okay. Good deal. Well, do you want to go first?
I always want to go first. I don't mind going first.
Okay.
We want to keep that up.
Okay, very good. Then I will give you the first pick on the things and or people from Florida.
It's easy. Destin.
That's nothing wrong with that.
My family, my wife and her family, like we vacationed there plenty. Mm-hmm. We got engaged in Destin, so I've got to go with the beaches of Destin and the place there because of all the memories, all the fun we've had. I will kick out the traffic if I could. The traffic's disastrous, but everything that I've been through in Florida always leads to Destin. Like I said, got engaged there, had so much fun there. My sister-in-law and brother-in-law, they got married in Destin one year on our trip. So,
all right.
I think that's got to be my number one pick.
Like,
so much sentimental importance and value there.
Absolutely, not gonna disagree with that at all. I've been to a beach in Florida, but not to Destin. I've been to South Beach once back when I was in college, which is a fantastic story. It was a bunch of college kids in an RV.
Oh,
we parked on the street where we opened the door, and there was South Beach. So it was really kind of ideal for a bunch of college kids.
Yeah, no kidding. That's fun.
Hard to beat that, but that's not my choice. That was okay. that was just story time. My first draft pick is going to be Universal Studios in Orlando.
Wait, yeah.
My son's 14. He's huge into amusement parks. I enjoy them as well. I got away from them for so long when I didn't have kids, and then with him gotten back into it, we went out there, hit all their parks, including the water park, Volcano Bay, which is spectacular. I know our good friend Marshall Scott of Pistols Firing will occasionally watch the podcast. I know he's really upset right now that I didn't pick Disney World. But listen, Marshall's not here.
Yeah.
He's probably sitting home eating some broccoli or something. I don't know what he's doing right now.
Yeah.
But that's what it is. Marshall's going to, at least he says, he's going to Disney World this week
before
the game, Friday. He's heading out there.
Is he really?
Going. He is.
Wow.
He is. So,
good for him.
Yeah. Happy for him. But I'm a Universal Studios guy myself, so.
I haven't been there since I was 5.
Very nice.
So I don't remember hardly anything about Orlando or Disney or anything like that. So
me and my son were there 2 years ago. Had a blast. 4 days at the three parks. spectacular.
I'm pretty sure I'll be there at some point in my future with Colin and Breck.
Oh yeah, so, you got a lot of that in your future in the coming years.
That's happening at some point.
All right, so. With that, round two, back to you.
Number two, you're going to laugh at me on this one. The 2003 Florida Marlins World Series team, because it's Pudge Rodriguez's only World Series victory.
Right.
They got him the first year he leaves the Rangers. He wins the World Series with the Florida Marlins.
There you go.
Now the Miami Marlins. Still the Florida Marlins to me.
Absolutely.
I'm thankful for that. That's my pick for number two.
I like that. Another quick story. The night they won that World Series, I was at the Civic Center in Oklahoma City watching Jerry Seinfeld do stand-up. And I don't know if Seinfeld still does this. I haven't seen him since like 2019. But at the end of the show, he'll come out. Instead of doing an encore, he just answers questions from the audience. And somebody asked him, did the Yankees win? And he informs us all, no, the Marlins won the World Series. So I always tell people, I found out that the Marlins won the World Series because Jerry Seinfeld
told me. Nice. I remember my grandpa called me. He was a big Rangers fan. And it was like, hey, I watched the game. It's like, did you see Pudge kiss home plate? Oh, it's like, calling me. That's so excited. Like, that always is in my head. So the 2003 Florida Marlins are my number two.
That's solid. Very, very solid. I'll go ahead and throw this out there. This was on my list for a potential pick. Mm-hmm. He's not going to make the cut, but Andre Dawson, Hall of Famer, former Cub.
Yeah, from Florida.
From Miami. Actually ended his career. He wasn't on the 03 team, but right before that, he was hanging around with the Marlins for a couple of years.
Yeah.
He was one of my guys that I typed in here on my list of notes. So my second pick, I'm going with Tom Petty.
Okay.
Big fan of Tom Petty. I grew up listening to whatever music my dad had on in the car, and that was always classic rock at the time. So I became a little bit familiar with him at that point. But then, mid-90s, I think it was like 94, he comes out with the Wildflowers album. And I was hooked from there. That was it. A huge Tom Petty fan. Especially that album, but really, as they say, I celebrate his entire collection. He's a Miami guy and no longer with us, which is sad.
That is sad.
Yeah. So, all right. With that, back to you for the start of round three.
The third one's tough.
It is.
I did not look up famous people from Florida, so I'm struggling a little bit in my head on some of that. But I'm going to go with Emmitt Smith.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Because
that's a good one.
As a young kid growing up, Emmitt Smith is my favorite football player.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Florida.
He is.
And then you had all these other players that came from Florida that were the Cowboys. They had a huge impact on the Cowboys in the 90s.
Yeah.
So I think Emmitt Smith is my third pick.
Very nice. I like that. Like it a lot. There was another football player that I had on my list that this is not my selection, but Deion Sanders, Florida guy, Coach Prime. Big fan of him. I also have Anthony Richardson on my list, but he's going to have to show me a little bit more. As a Colts fan, I'm not quite ready to throw him into my top three.
The OSU route should have been, I know you're not going to take this, is Montverde Academy, because it's where Cade Cunningham came
from. That's right. That's exactly right.
It should have been the OSU route
that,
right there.
That would certainly qualify. One other thing I'm not picking that is sports related. The Daytona 500, we established last week that I am a fan of NASCAR. Yeah. It's obviously the Super Bowl of NASCAR, first race of the year, which, you know, it's still weird to me that the biggest race
is the
first race, but it is what it is. Big fan of the Daytona 500, not going to take that this week. Another thing on my list that I'm not taking is the Kennedy Space Center. Like, I don't know if this was a deal for you in, like, elementary school, but, like, once a year, they would bring this big flyer that was, like apply to space camp.
Oh, no.
And it was so exotic and cool, awesome sounding, you know, like, weightlessness and, act like an astronaut, all that stuff. So I built it up to this massive thing in my head, and I just, it seemed like the coolest place on Earth, even though I've never been there. I have no idea what it's actually like.
Yeah.
But that was up there. Thought really hard about putting it in my top three, but it didn't make it. I'm going very simple with my final pick, oranges.
Oh, that's good.
I love an orange.
I love orange juice.
Oh, absolutely.
You can't beat it.
No.
That's great.
No, it's just.
That's a low-key, that's under the radar, really strong.
Right.
pick.
Right. That's what I felt like.
Yeah.
Especially getting into the last round. That's a last round steal.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a last round steal right there. So
I like it.
And it kind of hints at, well, I don't know if we'll draft it next week, but we have another list to draft that it sort of hints at. But, yeah. All right. That's good. Are we done?
I think so.
All right. Good deal.
We got basketball tonight, so let's go.
Yeah, that's right. You want to talk a little basketball?
I mean,
yeah. Talk some hoops.
I mean, you know, I think it's just going to be interesting to watch this team that's remade. There's only three scholarship players who've returned.
Right.
Bryce Thompson's one of them, which is huge, but, you know, it's a young, a lot of freshmen, a lot of talented freshmen. They're going to be without Javon Small and Jamyron Keller for a little bit, but I'll be interested to see the Abilene Christian tonight.
The women also start tonight not too long after we're actually recording this. I won't be able to make it because I do have to be at football, which ends right in the middle of when the basketball game is, so I won't be there for it. But very much a similar situation. Four scholarship players held over from Oklahoma State women's basketball program last year to this year. They got hit hard by graduation because they brought in a lot of fifth-year players last year. But a remade roster and going to be a little bit more of a defensive focus this year. Still going to be pushing the ball, still be shooting a lot of threes. They've still got Leora Garzon, Anna Grant Aussie, who are both shot over 41% last year from three. They'll still be firing up shots from the outside. Still going to score a lot, but more defense based on some different things. Riley Langerman, who we both covered at the high school level at Christian Heritage, went to Arkansas for a few years. Now she's back in the state of Oklahoma.
It sounds like OSU women are going opposite of what OSU men. They're going defensive heavy. The OSU men are going offensive heavy now.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see.
Which is, it's also interesting because it's counterintuitive to both coaches.
Yes.
So that's also going to be a fascinating dynamic to watch with both of those teams throughout the year. So, all right. Well, with that, I think it's time to go ahead and wrap this up. We can finish these beers and go get ready to talk to some football players, and then you go cover some basketball. So, with that, we thank you for watching or listening to the Cowboy Chronicles.